Check 1, 2, testing.
Testies.
All right. La, 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 la. Say vagina, don't say pussy.
Say cunt, don't say vagina.
You're messing up the punchline of that idea.
No.
You do it every time.
You guys are twats.
There you go. Hello and welcome to the award-winning Ardent Atheist, official podcast of the United Church of Bacon, where reason reigns supreme, not frogs and fish. Today's episode brought to you by billions of years of evolution. Sitting next to me is my co-host and producer, Heather Henderson.
Hi, everybody.
You know Heather from the Facebooks, on the inner tubes, and from our other hit podcast, Skeptically Yours. You can find links to our guests' websites, join our Twitter and Facebook feeds, subscribe to our premium ad-free 90-minute full-length episodes, and our email at ardentatheist.com.
If you'd like to take part in the live chat moderated by the author of the fabulous blog, Comedy Obscura, Joe Swam, go to ardentatheist.com/live and chat us up right now.
And please go to iTunes, subscribe to our podcast for free, write a review, help us get up there in the top 10 where you've never put us. You may also go to ardentatheist.com/premium and subscribe to our premium ad-free content for a measly 10 bucks per year.
Subscribe now or Emery will do the whole show using his walk-in accent.
Okay, that's not a threat. Everyone loves my walk-in.
I've never heard that.
But I thought people liked it.
No, honey.
You mean they don't like it when I talk like this?
No.
Are you sure? I'm really not doing it very well.
Do it right.
You mean they don't like it when I talk like this? God,
no,
why
honey.
Can't I do walking?
Try the next line. It might work.
You think I can do it?
No.
Are you sure? Because I truly feel that people usually love it when I do my walking.
Well, let's take a vote. If you like Emery's walk-in accent, then subscribe to the premium portion of the show. And if you don't like the accent, then subscribe to the premium portion of the show.
Hey, I think that might work.
Only if they're stupid. We only have two rules in the show. Rule number one, guests may plug anything they want. We're not hypocrites. Go subscribe.
And rule number two, if your listener's ever been offended by anything, get a sledgehammer and destroy your computer now. See, I can do it.
No, honey.
This show has no restrictions on language or content, and certainly has nothing for you, you more mutts. We're coming to you live from E&H Studios in sunny Studio City, California. In the Studio City tonight, we have Amy Englehart, Richard Bain, and Kevin Norris. You know these folks from Showbiz.
Showbiz! You guys are in the world showbiz. Of Showbiz.
God, why can't I just drop into walking better? That's horrible.
You it's a walk-in closet. It's more like...
walk-in closet. Am I in the walk-in closet?
Yeah.
That's nice.
I'm here to help.
That's where Heather wishes I were. She hates that walk-in accent.
I don't, actually. I really, really love it.
Do you really?
I do. I really
That's
love
so
it.
So silly.
I do.
You're playing a character that hates it?
Yeah. I'm also playing a character who loves you.
Okay, that's mean.
I love you.
Okay, thanks.
I love you.
I'm just saying.
Love
that.
You. Love
Richard
you.
Richard Bain, how are you?
Good. Good. Thank you. Thank you. Everyone has a walk-in. It's a good one. It's
Let's like hear yours.
Yeah, you're talking to him all wow.
That's not walking.
You're talking to him all wrong. It's the wrong tone. Fuck. It is hard when you just jump into
it. My problem in the beginning of the show was that opening segment is meant to be performed quickly. It's a high energy piece.
It yeah. was.
And you can't do a walking in high energy. It's really tough. And so I should have just stopped the energy and done it.
No, the energy is in the pauses.
Yeah, that is where the energy lives. That's exactly right.
Walking.
These boats were made for me.
There you go.
That's my old walking
joke. Do you
want
to tell everybody what your idea is for Fiverr?
Yeah, you tell.
Okay, so.
It's a great idea.
So, have you heard of the website Fiverr? Fiverr, mm-hmm. something like that.
Yeah.
So, people who don't know what it is, it's a place where you can sell your talents for $5. So you can, you make it small. So like if you're a writer, you'll write a paragraph of prose for $5. Or if you do voiceovers, you'll do, 30 seconds for $5. And then they can also purchase longer stuff. So it's not just $5. If they like you, they can purchase $25.
I don't know
something.
That any of that has
My friend made
to do
$200 last month just for doing dumb Fiverr shit. Anyway, so it does matter.
But he had to do a lot of things.
It's background information.
It's background information. So Emery wants to do walk-in imitations for $5. Any song anybody wants, he can request it, and he'll sing it as walking.
You can request the song, and for $5, I'll record it as walking.
Like these boots were made for walking.
That's the sample we'll put up.
Yeah.
Walking on sunshine.
Yeah, there you go. That's great. Walking on sunshine.
Whoa.
Whoa.
Those are the Rod Stewart walking in the sunshine.
It doesn't have to have the word walking in it. It can be any song. What were the other songs we were thinking?
You started making a list.
Yeah, we had a list. I don't know what happened to it.
I don't remember. There was a rap song in there, wasn't there?
Yeah, rap's tough. Again, speed, you know? You got to be. Walking doesn't work fast.
So, if someone picked a fast musical song, he would just have to do it as walking slow and miss a huge part of it.
He's not going to do the Hamilton score anytime.
Right.
So, yeah, I think that you should still do that.
Rapper's Delight would be like 4 hours long.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. But it's a pipe dream.
Yeah, we'll do it one day. It's pretty funny.
Yeah.
It's a funny idea. What's that really fast Bare Naked Lady song?
Oh, right.
I can't think of any of the lyrics from it. I used to know the whole song.
We Didn't Start the Fire, the Billy Joel song. Ah! That would be epic.
We Didn't Start the Fire. And I don't know any more lyrics to that song. All right. So, yeah. Oh, yeah. Hot like wasabi when I bust rhymes. Big like Leanne rhymes because I'm all about value. That would be a fun one. That'd be a great one. All right. So one day we'll maybe do that. I think it's going to be hilarious if we ever do it. We have some topics today that just kind of blow my mind. I want to talk, first of all, about those polygamist fucks. You know, the Mormon cult, the originalists. Because that's really what they are when you think about it. These guys that... All right. There's this guy named Warren Jeffs.
Oh, yeah.
And, do you know who he is?
Yeah, I've read about him.
Yeah, and so he's running the cult
personality.
Yeah, he's running the cult leg of the Mormon faith. And the cult leg of the Mormon faith, I want to be very clear about this. The Mormon faith is a cult, no matter how you slice it. It's gone more mainstream in recent years, but all religions start out as a cult.
Religions are totally cults.
Yeah. Well, like Islam?
Alcoholics Anonymous?
People who are extremists.
Thank you.
Richard, let me tell you right now, that could not be more spot on than it is.
That's true, actually.
Alcoholics Anonymous, which is, you know, listen, they have their degree of effect. There's no question that there are people who benefit from Alcoholics Anonymous. By their own numbers, I think it's somewhere around 5%, if I remember right. That's their effectiveness rate. They say that. I'm not dissing them.
It's scientific.
But it is indeed, you know this, right? It's a religious order.
Yeah. No,
it is religious.
I started going, actually, about 2 months ago.
How's it going?
I'm an alcoholic.
I know that.
Hi, Richard.
Keep coming back.
Hey, how do you know that?
It's weird.
How do I know that?
I'll tell you later.
I'm really not a big drinker. I'm just an addict in general, whether it be drugs or sex or...
Can I stop you right now? Can I really just stop you right now?
What?
You're not a sex addict. You're a guy. That's just utter bullshit. It's utter bullshit. The whole sex addict thing is utter bullshit. I refuse to accept it. It's bullshit. You think I'm wrong?
No.
All right.
I have no opinion on it, actually.
You've never met someone that had more of like a drive to fuck than other people?
Sure. It varies from person to person. But the drive that men have is insane.
Right,
fundamentally, through the charts, and off the charts, and the reason for that, you can thank genes for that. We're designed to be that way.
Levi's, right.
Spread our seed.
Yeah, that's it.
My joke fell flat.
But it's not a fucking sickness. It's not a sickness. It only becomes a sickness when we get into relationships and there's some sort of disparity between the two.
If you're fucking like anything, you're putting people at risk for diseases.
That's a completely different behavior. That risky behavior and sex addict aren't the same thing, in my opinion. Unless someone wants to make the argument that risky behavior is sex addiction. If you're just calling risky behavior sex addiction, You know?
It's I mean, risk addiction.
They don't yeah, see risk it addiction. As risky behavior. They see it as fucking.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
So, I don't, I mean, it's, I don't know. I can I have a beer?
What was the tweet? I sent a tweet out this afternoon when I finished up with work, and it was right in the... You said you had commented on it, Heather.
I didn't
see a comment anywhere. All right. So the tweet was, we... Let me find it. Hold on. Let me find it. I want to read it right. Doo-doo. We always keep a bottle of vodka around just in case someone visits who's struggling with addiction.
You didn't see my tweet?
No, I didn't see your comment. What was your comment?
My comment was, no, honey, I drank that.
Oh, I see. I didn't see. There's no comment on my
Maybe I didn't
wall.
Push enter because yeah, I yeah. was drunk.
So what's nutty about AA, getting back to that, is they claim they're not religious, and they absolutely are.
The other problem with it, too, is that a lot of times you go to any sort of like medical professional, and these are people that you're supposed to like trust as medical professionals, and the only thing that they will push for somebody who comes in there with an alcohol addiction is AA.
A religion.
Yeah, a religion. Which
Your
is
solution
nuts
is
to me.
God.
It's absolutely fucking
Same thing
nuts
with
to
the
me.
Courts. Yeah. Same thing with the courts.
Yes.
And that sucks really bad.
And that's not supposed to be happening. Our Constitution says you're not allowed to do that. Yet they do. That has to. Someone has to stop this shit.
I'll do it.
Well. And there are scientific studies these days that say there are actual drugs that can help you kick an alcohol addiction. I heard an amazing, it's funny you said that, I heard an amazing NPR podcast.
I knew you heard that. That's why we brought this up. I used our psychic abilities.
Oh, okay.
See our other show about that.
Yeah,
really. No, that's what you call a coincidence. Pretty great.
It's all about how people are looking at addiction as this thing that can only be treated with you know,
God.
Therapy and religion or yeah. religious therapy, and that there are actually treatments that have not been approved yet that are drugs, you know, that well, a drug for another drug, but
right.
you know what I'm saying. But they are things that do things to the centers of the brain that drive you towards wanting to drink.
Huh.
Well, so they are coming at it from a medical angle now as opposed to a psychological one.
Okay. So Pabst blockers.
There you go.
Okay, so I never thought I would talk about this, and this is not what this show is about. But
you never talk about this. What are you doing?
You too have been going to the meetings because drinking for me is a fickle. It's a fickle thing. No, it's a physical harm for me, but I really like to drink. So I've been trying them out too. Can't fucking stand them. Can't
She's losing her mind over it.
Can't stand them. Can't stand
them. No, I've reached the point. I've been going for like 2 months, two meetings a week. And I got to this point where the last one I went to, I was like, this sucks. It's just not. I'm not like these people. I know that's like what the fucking basic thing.
So you're still in denial.
That exactly.
See, that's what I'll tell you, yeah.
It's really great place to sell Molly, though. I'll tell you.
Ah!
Well, the problem I have with it is that they say that you're helpless unless you use a higher power, which is God. But even though, you know, there are atheists and other people who don't necessarily believe in God there, they say that you have to have a higher power. And I'm like, I don't, even not just God, but it could be whatever.
Right.
Mm-hmm. A tree.
But it certainly can't be you, which is the whole issue, right. is that it should be you.
Do they really push God and shit on you at the meeting? Because I go to one in Silver Lake and it's like, it looks like a fucking punk show. It's like,
well, they're all over the place. But the one I had gone to when I first started going was very, very religious. And even
how religious?
Well, this is how religious. I had mentioned in a meeting that I was having some medical problems, and they decided they wanted to pray over me. And one guy started speaking
in tongues. Hands,
wow.
And they laid
hands
and spoke in tongues.
And I was like, you know, I'm a nice person, so I'm not going to say no. You can't pray for me, but I wasn't expecting people to start shabalaba ding dong.
Where is that? Like, I mean, what part of town?
It's North Hollywood here.
Okay,
yeah,
in the area. Maybe you should be going over to Silver Lake.
Well, I am
going to
go other places. I just haven't been going. I've just been using some self restraint. Because I have figured out I can kind of do that.
Oh, so. You're relying on your lower power, eh?
My vagina?
Don't
say vagina. They
say just
crunch,
don't
say
really
pussy,
push God at the one I go to. And I mean, there's more like tattoo face people than...
Well, the thing is, too, for me, I don't really like rituals. So yeah, anything that's ritualistic makes me feel uncomfortable.
It's a cult.
It makes
totally
me feel very uncomfortable.
Yeah, I had... I was...
I was friends with, very, very Ancillary friends, with George Carlin, enough that we spoke every once in a while. And he called me once while I was in Vegas. He knew I worked Vegas, and he said, I need to go to a meeting in Vegas. Do you know where there's a meeting where someone like me could go?
Yeah.
And I didn't know anything about it back then at all, and I didn't know anybody who had gone, so I wasn't able to help. But I asked him, I said, do you have trouble going to meetings because you're George? And he goes, fuck yeah, it's awful. It's fucking awful. He goes, it's all God this and God that. And I thought it was he was talking about he was talking about
being
George Carlin.
Yeah.
And I go, it's not because you're George and Carlin? And he goes, well, there's that. I deal with that everywhere. He goes, I'm just looking for a meeting where artists can be. And that solves the George Carlin problem, and it solves the religion problem. I'm like, ah, I see.
Yeah, critical thinkers.
Yeah, critical thinkers, right. And generally, artists don't fall for that kind of bullshit, you know? So
I was at a party last night, and I met a guy who is really funny because we knew each other back in 2005 in Philadelphia when I lived there, and then all of a sudden he's at this party. And now we live down the street from each other, and he's also in the program, and I was explaining why I didn't really like it, and he was giving me the, but you need to give it a chance. You can't say it's stupid if you've never done it before. And I'm just like, yeah, I know. I don't want to be an asshole because it worked for you. I understand. But I have the book, and I've read the steps, and I just, like, every bit of it makes me cringe hardcore. I just don't think I need that.
Well, have you cut down on drinking?
Yeah, I stopped.
Well, then that's good. That's all you need to worry about.
AA is a success.
It did. It worked for me.
Right. Well, you can take
scared
what you
the
want
shit out
from
of me,
it,
so
and then you can leave the rest of the bullshit.
Maybe that's what. Maybe that's what how it works. It's designed to just be this awful, insidious place, so much so that you're like, man.
Man, I all drunks are repulsive and they believe
complete,
in God, so I'm obviously not I'm obviously not an addict.
It's a complete episode of Intervention. It's like I go to those fucking meetings and I'm like, oh, I didn't fucking steal money from my grandma to go shoot dope. Like,
there's always one guy insanely worse than everybody else there,
dude,
right?
Most of the people are way worse than me.
Last night I blew my uncle so I could get $13.
I was told that that's called, those are called yets.
Yet?
Yeah.
What is
you
that?
Haven't done it yet.
Ooh.
Wow. That's
this is where you could
cool.
be.
That is insidious.
You haven't done it yet.
Yeah.
Yes.
That is insidious. Insidious. Fuck the God stuff. That philosophically is bankrupt and wrong. Fucking
and
hell.
And I know I sound like I'm being snotty and stuff about it, but it's just, it comes out that way because I really dislike it. But
here's the problem,
it,
though.
It worked for a lot of people, and it still works for a lot of
Not
people.
Not a lot. 5%.
Well, the people I've met, you know.
I have a friend who's like, totally, like, it's saving our life.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I don't want to shit on it too much.
I do think that it actually works for a certain kind of person, you know, and you have to be that kind of person. You have to be the kind of person who isn't just going to say, fuck you, if I'm not going to do what you tell me just because somebody's telling you what to do constantly, right? I mean,
yeah.
I'm that kind of person, and it never, you know, I used to go years ago and kind of got myself back together and, you know, but I mean, that was sort of the thing that bothered me a lot about it. But there's also like little things that you start figuring out as you're going is they use these terms, you know, like they have these little mottos that they use over and over and over again that almost are like this, like sort of like
mantra,
yeah, mantra and tempo that's almost like brainwashing
yes.
you into doing stuff. And it's like, if you really pay attention, it is like a cult in that way, you know, because it's always just like, I don't know. It sort of appeals to that joiner mentality that some people
to
have.
The addict mentality for
yeah.
some people.
Right.
Some people need that,
yeah.
you know. And I don't deny that, you know, people some people get the help they need and
you,
want. From
you know
it.
What AA I do believe in?
What?
Ardent atheists.
Ah!
Right. You know what's funny is in my phone I have a shortcut so that if I put AA it just says Ardent Atheist. I don't have to spell out all Ardent Atheist. So I'm looking up AA stuff and I'm like, God damn it. I can't even look up AA stuff because Ardent Atheist keeps popping. Okay, never mind. Huh. Well, how did we get on this?
Yeah, right. What about the Mormons?
The Mormons.
the right answer was Mormon. So yeah, the Mormons. This guy, all right, let
tangent.
Me pull this. Yeah. Jeff.
It's a good tangent, though.
Jeffs is his name, Warren Jeffs. A new federal courthouse in downtown Salt Lake City is a massive futuristic cube of metal and glass that looks imposing. So let's see here. Let me find the story here. Because Warren Jeffs is going to prison, his sect of Mormons believe that he is rather that the apocalypse is upon us. That's their mathematics. They have a leader. Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, I can't recall what he's going to prison for, but is it underage?
Yes.
That's where they get him. That's exactly where they get him.
Yeah.
It's really insidious. There have been TV shows about this. Big Love, I believe, covered this, right?
That's great.
It's a really good show. Is that still on? Does anyone know?
No,
it's not.
Big Love exposed the insidious behaviors of these of the FLDS, I think. Fucking
Latter-day Saints. Professional Mormon League.
Yeah, right. they really just control their adherents. They absolutely decide who they're going to marry. And these leaders, the whole absolute power corrupts absolutely is in play completely and totally. They are fucking kids.
They mostly marry their own cousins, and they're marrying in the family.
Hence the more mutts joke.
More mutts.
Pretty funny line. Did you write that? I did. More mutts.
I wonder if they have a lot of like Down syndrome and stuff from like fucking.
They've got to have something going on. They
worship Warren Jeffs. They're all retarded. It's not true.
So they think an apocalypse is coming?
Yeah, they think an apocalypse is coming.
They think we're in it right now.
It's beginning.
Well, we are, but it's not the one they think.
Ah, really?
I mean, you know, look at what's going on.
You're talking about Trump, I do believe.
I'm talking about everyone.
Obama.
Thanks, Obama. No, I just think it's not the one that they think it is. It's almost like it's the opposite one that they think.
I don't think there's a political apocalypse going on at all. I think there's a
change.
Yeah, I think there's a dog and pony show going on, and I'm absolutely glued to it. I'm watching. My favorite Twitter account is a
parody
account for Trump. You can go check it out. It's at Let Trump Be Trump. It's a lovely account. Here's the deal. Let me find it. I'm gonna pull it up. Yeah. Here we go.
I'll just make noise until you finish.
Yeah, you cover me.
Blah,
so
blah, blah.
So it looks just like Donald Trump's account. It's very clearly a parody account because the pinned tweet at the top is, I'll ban abortion, then corner the market on hangers. Hashtag make America great again.
God.
It's,
he would do that.
That's really funny. Well, I'm wondering. I mean, it's a funny account. It's really, really awfulsome because it... The tweets say the things that he wishes he could say, in my mind, you know?
Right.
The subtext of what he's saying is in these tweets out loud. And that's what makes it really funny to me. Because there's no doubt in my mind that, in my mind, this is my opinion, Donald Trump is just playing this over-the-top character because it's working. That's what I think. What do you think?
I've always thought that, actually, because I think that what he is he's a damn good businessman. Or no, he's not a damn good businessman, but he knows how to work it like business. And so he's saying whatever he needs to say in order to get the business that he wants, the votes or whatever. And so really, he can be racist one day and not racist the next day because he doesn't give a shit either way.
Right.
What it is this business plan that he has to get in the White House because of his narcissism.
Well, I only think he has a plan to get in the White House at this point, and I base this on evidence, actually. There was a woman that was in his cabinet, in his campaign, that worked in his campaign, and she left the campaign, and she wrote an open letter and put it out.
I saw that.
Did you see the letter? Mm-hmm. And that's the Trump be Trump thing, let Trump be Trump, is something they are saying inside the campaign. That's a thing they're doing. It started with Reagan. It showed up on television in West Wing with Bartlett. Let Bartlett be Bartlett. And now they're doing it with Trump. And it's funny when you think about it. I mean, applied to Reagan, really smart, actually. Really fucking smart. Applied to Bartlett for the purposes of the show of West Wing, really brilliant application of that idea. Applied to Trump, oh, fuck me, what are they thinking?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, but there's been some very interesting comparisons about, you know, why did Christian voters, you know, when they called them the evangelicals, why did they vote for Reagan when he was a divorced, actor, not the mold that, you know,
wife
that you
was into astrology, like
right,
weird shit.
Right, the
why
whole
do
thing.
You think
it's because he was different enough, and because they kind of thought, oh, well, it's a different kind of person, and they didn't care.
Well,
so
I
they're
can,
comparing that to the whole.
I've not really heard
like,
that
they
idea.
Excused.
I haven't heard it.
They excused all the behaviors because they're like, right. Yes, but he's the new way of doing it.
Wait a minute. Now, I want to.
Even if he's done.
I want to lay something on top of that that I think is probably more significant here. It's because that's everyone else, too. The religious
true.
Aren't
true.
Like they claim to be. They don't behave that way. They don't think the way that they claim they think. They don't act the way. These guys are fucking around on their wives, and these wives are fucking around on their husbands. These people are doing the things. They're not living by the book.
No, of course. They the get abortions. How many abortions has Trump paid for? Come on. You know, no one has asked this question.
Is that, that's
I
a great question.
I want to know how many abortions he's paid for.
Well, at one point, it was obvious he thought about it with an interview I saw.
Yeah. I'd be really surprised if that has never happened.
Him paying for an abortion. Pay, in his life.
I can see him
or
not.
Or paying someone off to go away.
I can
or,
see him not wanting to kill a copy of himself. That guy loves himself.
That's true.
What's that new show? Did
Mary
I send
Tyler
you that?
Moore?
Yes, that's the one. Mm-hmm. I sent you that video, Tyler?
I don't know.
With... interviewing Trump from back when he was married to, I think it was Ivana?
Okay.
Or they were talking about, it was on the Rich and Famous show. I
oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Thank you. All
did
right.
You,
so
did you watch that?
I did see that. I saw it on television. I didn't see you sent that link. It's or maybe I did. He was on with the Rich and Famous guy.
Robin Leach.
There you
Leach.
Go. I should know that.
Robin Leach.
Each
Robin
morning
Leach.
He wakes up.
Yes. That's right.
He's personal. He's I think his best friend or one of his best friends is Emily Zoltan Gillette. Did you know that, Heather?
Yes, I did know that.
They are good friends. And he was interviewing Trump. What did he say?
He asked him because they were just about to have a baby. I forget which wife it was.
Ivana.
It was Ivana. They were just about to have... Oh, no, they just had a baby. It was
right.
like a little toddler or
right.
something like that. And he said, so you've got this baby now. So what do you see in the baby? What part of
what?
You do you
there
see
you
in
go.
The baby? And
go.
What part of, you know, your wife do you see in the baby? What resemblance? And so Trump says, well, she's got her legs. I don't know if she's got this part up here pointing, like with his
and,
hands
and
pointing
and gestures
to his,
at the tits.
At the boobs.
5-month-old baby they're talking about.
I don't know if she's got this
We don't
right
know
here,
if he has those yet.
But, I guess we'll see in the future or something like that. That's
yeah.
what he's his answer
That's not
was.
Creepy at all. That's the best part about that answer.
Well, he
That's
said he would creepy. Fuck his daughter.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, and it's, you know, it's interesting. My daughter and I make jokes like that all the time. Not that we'd fuck each other, but we make inappropriate jokes all the time because it's fun to watch people cringe. He's not doing that.
No,
dad.
He's not being.
You know
funny.
What I mean?
He's
not being silly
funny.
Or absurd or pushing
Mormon.
A boundary
Mormon.
Or Mormon.
He's definitely not being Mormon.
Yeah, he's serious. I mean, when he answered that question for Robin Leach, there, he wasn't trying to be shocking or absurd. He was being Donald motherfucking Trump.
Yeah.
And
that should be his new slogan. I am Donald motherfucking Trump.
Well, it's fucking Idiocracy.
Yeah. I be what
it's
I be.
Literally.
You think it's Idiocracy?
Turning into mm-hmm. Camacho, the president. Fucking
yeah.
Shooting guns and he's snapping into a Slim Jim.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think there's any possible way he can win because the GOP is far too powerful and corrupt.
No, that's the best part about this is watching the GOP just unravel and like.
It's the only good part of it.
Yeah. I mean, Trump sucks, but fuck, everyone sucks. They
yeah.
all suck.
Cruz
yeah.
is horrific.
Yeah.
I mean,
exactly.
He's like a complete nightmare.
It's interesting how even. I'm an anti-religious leader guy all the way down. But every time more and more as I watch Cruz, all I can think is, please let's. Please let's see him running against Hillary and or Bernie and not Trump. You know what I mean?
Because you think there's no chance for Cruz.
No. That's not the reason. The fact of the matter is there is a race I would prefer to see happen. I really would, logically speaking, prefer to see Trump against Bernie.
Yeah.
Because I'm a numbers guy and odds are... That will guarantee we will not have Trump. That guarantees we don't have Trump. Mm-hmm. With Hillary, we could end up with Trump. And that scares the shit sticks out of me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
No,
with Hillary and Cruz, we could end up with Cruz. And with Bernie and Cruz, I don't know what, I don't remember what the numbers say on that one.
But do you not think that, to some extent, that Trump will just sort of self-destruct within
he did last week
of his presidency.
He did last week on the in his presidency. You take those words back, mister.
Well, I'm just saying, no, that's what I'm saying. Like, if he became president, like, wouldn't he just sort of self-destruct? Like, what I would want to be if I was a Republican would be his vice president, because I think that he would get impeached within 6 months, and then that person
or shot
slides in there. Yeah, so...
Right. I don't know, though. You don't really have lefty nuts who, you know, you have right nuts.
I have lefty nuts. They both hang to the left, just for the record. All right, we'll be right back after this, ladies and gentlemen. We should do two breaks in one. We waited so long. You're listening to Ardent Atheist at ardentatheist.com and available to the iTunes Store. More after this unavoidable interruption.
We've had a lot of people ask us about the comedy sketch clips that we play from the Vile comedy album, Chaos Radio, so we are making it available to you. You can buy your favorite tracks from the 23-track record individually for $1, or you can buy the entire recording for $18. Go to gumroad.com/Emery. That's G-U-M as in M-I, crooked letter, I, crooked letter, I, humpback, humpback, I, R-O-D. ROAD.com/Emery and buy the damn thing. It's not helpful.
You did not help it. No. Now they have no idea how to get there. If money is the root of all evil, then why do they ask for it in church?
I don't know. Why do they ask for it in church?
No, honey. The question is the joke.
Foundation Beyond Belief is a community of compassionate humanists and atheists supporting outstanding charities worldwide. Members sign up for automatic donations starting at $5 a month, then distribute those funds however they wish among the featured charities. To date, this unique humanist organization has raised over $750,000 to make this world a better, more humane place. We don't look to the skies for a better world. Foundation Beyond Belief is humanity at work. Learn more or join us at foundationbeyondbelief.org.
Hi, I'm David Diskin, and I wanted to tell you about Camp Quest West. We're a secular summer camp for non-religious families, and our week-long program for kids runs this summer in locations in California and over a dozen others throughout the U.S. At Camp Quest, we give kids the traditional camp experience, like archery, swimming, arts and crafts, and campfire songs, but we add science, skepticism, humanism, and critical thinking. There's a few spots left for parents who want to register their kids, but we're also asking for your help. We turn every donation into camperships for families that can't afford to send their children to camp. We're 100% volunteer-based, a tax-exempt 501c3, and our amazing financial aid program is supported by the free thought and skeptic community by people like you. I want to see how much Emery and Heather's fans can raise for Camp Quest West. Visit tinyurl.com/ardentcampquest. Or look for the link on their Facebook page. You can learn more about our California camps and the others throughout the U.S. by visiting campquest.org.
Hey, kids. Remember the good old days of simple, wholesome fun? Back when you could watch cartoons on Saturday morning? Remember watching Mr. Peabody and Sherman use their Wayback Machine to visit the realms of ancient history? And remember how disappointing it was that they didn't fuck anybody? Didn't you want to see Mr. Peabody get his hot little doggy holes stuffed by Zebulon Pike or Galileo? Well, now you can. Only instead of a dog and an underage boy, it's two hot sorority chicks using a time machine to screw their way through history. Time Bangers is a hot new series of erotic time travel novels set for full release on July 28th. For more details, check out www.timebangers.com. You'll laugh, you'll cry. You'll come.
And now back to Ardent Atheist Nonsense You Can Believe In. We're talking with Amy Engelhart, Richard Bain, and Kevin Norris. Thanks for being here, everybody.
Woohoo!
So, what were we talking about?
Amy,
you actually, do you want to talk about what we were talking about during the break? Because I don't want to make you
talk
about that.
No, I was just saying how I was talking about... I'm a professional singer, and sometimes it's kind of disquieting when you sing services that are extreme, and on the more extreme holidays, and sometimes singing in an Easter service. We've actually talked about this before on the program, that I see no
problem.
I'm not a believer, but I don't see a problem singing in a church, being right. paid to sing in a church because they're paying me to do music. I don't actually say any of the congregational things when they're, you know, like,
yeah.
stuff
and also with you or any
yeah,
of that
I never say that because to me that feels weird, but mm-hmm. singing it doesn't mm-hmm. for some reason.
Kind of like a stutterer. Right? Who? No, it's not the same thing. It's not even real.
But it's sometimes you catch yourself when, you know, there's so much beautiful music that was inspired by these things, and there's these Latin motets and these gorgeous things, but sometimes there's these songs that you have to sing that are, on the surface, very cheery and very celebrational. But then, of course, since it's Easter, it goes into this weird torture porn aspect of, you know, they really want to get into the whole crucifixion thing and get very passionate about it. And even if they don't want to get very passionate about it, they have to because it's in the words and you have to say these things and you know, and you know, I mean, if you're not a believer, you're not a believer, but it always seems to me that it's weird to watch these things just go by in a service.
You're talking about doing an Easter service and singing like the crucifix.
Yeah, singing about, you know, it's one thing if it's a kind of a lacrimosa, which is, you know, the tears that are shed and the whole timbre of the thing is a mournful celebration. But there's a more, and I do mean mournful celebration, but there are things that you have to sing that are, you know, these little rondelets that are all, you know, goofy and happy and all about dancing and all of a sudden you're singing about, and he whipped and he stripped and he bled till he died and, you know, and it's literally like a Monty Python thing
right.
all of a sudden.
Right.
And I'm always looking around going, huh. And it's very interesting because, you know, not everyone who belongs to a church belongs because they're believers. And
right.
that's something fascinating that I find, too, because I sub in a lot of different congregations.
I didn't know you were a sub.
I sub for staff singers who get paid to be there, or I'm an additional singer or ringer, as it were, to beef up the chorus. And a lot of classical singers do this, and it's fascinating because some people just join churches because they're seeking some kind of community. And actually, this goes back with your whole possibly the AA thing, which is that it is comforting just to be around people, for some people.
Community,
yeah. And yeah. a lot of these people aren't there because they are truly want to sing about Andy whipped, Andy stripped. They're there because they want to meet people and have friends and they don't.
You can't meet people at a strip club? I don't understand. I just don't get it.
Yes, you can, but you know what I mean? It's that's kind of a
I do understand. I get it. That's why the Sunday Assembly exists.
There you go.
Have you ever sung there?
No.
That's wrong. See, you should be singing there.
Well, give him my car. I'll sing to any god.
Kevin, do you know about this, Sunday Assembly? Do you
I
know
do
about
not.
This,
no.
Richard?
Emery.
What is the Sunday Assembly is a church for non-believers. That's basically what it is. And at the end of the day, really, it's just turning into this, and this exists already in certain incarnations, but a humanist church.
Pretty cool.
Yeah. It's people.
How do you feel about that?
I have no problem with it. I think it's fine. It's not for me. I'm not going. You know
we
what I mean?
We went once, and that was good.
Yeah,
enough.
I went. And
and they talk about God?
No. They talk about reason. They talk about science. They do exactly the same structure as a church. There's like, it's not pews, but you're seated in the same way. There's a stage up there. They have a prime speaker. See what I did there?
Yep.
Remember? All right. They have a guy who is booked to come and speak to the whole congregation, and they do the awful, what I think are kind of awful things that churches do. You know, look to the left, look to the right, hug each other,
shake their hands.
Community, yeah, all that kind of shit, which makes me just awfully, like, I hate that. Makes me shake with fear.
And they sing songs, so like they'll sing something by John Lennon. You know, they'll sing John Lennon's Imagine.
All We Are Saying. No, yeah, that would be a song they
Give
would do.
Piece of
that Walken yeah. would do.
They no? Walking.
That's exactly. I wasn't doing Walken. Did I sound like Walken there? All we're saying is give Pace a chance.
I'm just trying to do the whole reincorporation comedy thing.
Very yeah, right?
good. Bringing it back.
Well called back. So yeah, it's fine. I have no problems with Sunday Assembly, and I support what they're doing. I just, it's not for me. I have no desire to shut them down because I wouldn't go. And I think that there are I know that there are people. In fact, I host a comedy show for them at Flappers every couple months.
And they sell out. I mean, they're big.
They fill that room up. Yeah. It's really great.
And a lot of people really like the idea. I mean, that's one thing that some former religious people miss is that whole, like I said, ritual. I don't like rituals. They like to have that kind of format in their lives.
Well, I think that's the beauty of being a humanist or an atheist or whatever like that, right? Because it means it's all different kinds of people. And so not everybody is this sort of rugged lone wolf,
right,
individualistic, brilliant person like me,
who's an atheist.
But, you know, sometimes there are people who just want to be together and feel more comfortable in a group and feel more comfortable being able to look around and say, these are people who are like me around me.
They even have, like, you know how churches will have a Sunday school for their kids? They have kind of like a daycare aspect of it too, so you can bring your kids and they'll go in there and they'll learn something.
And guess what? No one's raping the kids.
That's true.
Huh? How cool is that?
I bet not, yeah.
So it's slightly different than church.
Oh, God. So bad.
Awful, awful. So, yeah, that's it. That's it. Let's move on to another topic, Heather.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let's move this along.
What I love how this show like starts some at A and ends up at Q, and
it goes everywhere.
It goes back to C and then ends up at, you know.
Yeah, there's no telling where it's going to end up.
It's awesome.
Mississippi has passed.
What?
All right, here I'll let the news tell the story. Here's a news story.
Opponents say if you can carry a gun inside a church, why not arm teachers in the classroom?
We have all of these mass shootings at school.
The only goal of this is to make sure that the people in the church who are there innocently to worship, that they're protected.
A group of moms came to the Capitol Thursday to lobby senators to kill the bill. They believe it goes too far and allows anyone to carry a gun without a license.
Even the law enforcement doesn't have the ability to determine who on the street that's carrying loaded, concealed weapons, whether or not they might be domestic abusers or whether or not they might be chronic alcoholic or whether or not they might be convicted felons.
And it's okay whether you're a criminal or not. Sure, criminals are going to have guns anyway, but why does it have to be legal?
That's just not true, because federal law, which is on the books today, already says that the mentally ill, felons, people convicted of domestic violence, felonies, they cannot even possess a firearm.
State Representative Andy Gibson says he wrote the bill after a young white supremacist shot and killed 9 African Americans inside a Charleston, South Carolina church 8 months ago.
I hope it never has to be used, but if it does, I hope it stops what happened in Charleston from happening here in Mississippi.
Opponents say it's offensive that someone would try and use the church tragedy in South Carolina to pass a new gun law. Reporting from the state capitol, Ross Adams, 16 WAPT News.
So the story that what they're trying to do is they're trying to make it legal in Mississippi for everybody to be able to carry a gun into a church. They're trying to pass a law that makes that legal.
Not just that, but they want to be able to have armed security guards so that, you know, they can protect their...
This is the part of it I want to talk about. Okay. This is what kind of bugs me. The headline is, Mississippi bill would let churches create armed security squads. Now, when I read the headline, I'm doing a story about this headline right now. That's why I want to cover this. When I read that headline, it just sounded like bullshit to me.
It does sound like bullshit.
It sounded like utter nonsense.
But I think that's what their excuse is going to be.
What do you mean?
Like, well, we want to be armed and be safe too.
I think you're falling for rhetoric if you think that. That's what I think.
So what is it really about?
Well, first of all, let's talk about the reality. In Mississippi, who doesn't think that everybody in that church already probably has a fucking gun? That's my thinking. You see what I'm saying? People in Mississippi have their guns.
That's right, because if the gays come around, you got to be ready.
You're goddamn right. I think what they're trying to do with this law, what the lawmakers are trying to do down there, is I think they're just trying to broaden that whole Second Amendment need, that desire to make it harder to push back against the Second Amendment.
Is there an open carry law there?
I don't think there's an open carry law, although I don't know. I don't know the answer to that.
Let me just tell you why I say that, because in this article, someone who quotes... who's against it, says religious institutions are already exempt from taxation, financial transparency, and many civil rights laws. The Mississippi Church Protection Act would constitute an unprecedented and dangerous next step. Belonging to a church should not afford anyone the same rights and protections as law enforcement. This legislation emboldens extremists by creating a legal means for radical preachers to enlist their congregants into God's army.
Yeah,
that's why I got that from it. They want to be able to.
I don't know enough about it. This is, first of all, we're reading the Huffington Post to you right now.
Yep.
And I just don't know if this is an accurate representation of what these fuckers are trying to do. I really don't think. I don't think that it is. Actually, that's how I feel about it. You know, when they were fighting. I almost said Bill Cosby. When they were fighting, I don't know why, Obama, when they were fighting Obama, I don't know why, I just confused Obama with Bill Cosby.
Oh, dear.
Well, they're both black.
Uh-huh. That's right.
See?
That's
exactly right. That's the truth. That's
so
why.
Barack Obama was trying to pass this this healthcare bill, and the thing that we heard that I think is exactly like this, headline-wise, was the death squads. It's just utter nonsense. I think it's fucking utter nonsense.
I'm pro-death squad. It's just the wrong people are who goes up against it.
Like, you're okay with the death squad?
I'm completely okay.
Who are the right people?
Well, that's the thing. Who gets to choose who are the right people?
That's exactly right. That's where the problem is.
Yeah.
That's where the problem is.
Nothing worse than an aimless death squad.
Aimless, literally.
Who death squads the death squad?
Yeah.
No. Now we have to think of a more ominous phrase for another group. The KKK?
The death... The kill the death squad death squad.
Yeah.
Murders death to the death squad.
Murder rapers.
Murder raping death squad.
Mormons.
All right, we'll be right back. We're going to do another break, I guess. Here
quick
we go.
Quick break.
Yeah, just a quick one. Not long. Hold tight. We'll be right back. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to Ardent Atheist at ardentatheist.com and available at the iTunes Store. More after this intolerable intermission. And now, a special announcement.
This is a big super shout out to a few of our listeners. Mom.
Hi, Mom.
Bunny Boy. Trevor. Kyle Delaney. Donkey Whore.
What?
Kentucky Atheist. Poke. Post-apocalypticunt.
Okay, that's funny.
Mighty Mike T.
Hey, Mike.
Forced to hold fart.
What?
Zingerman. Perry Dilioia. Moon. And Joe Swam. These were some of the people chatting on the Wall of Reason last week. Thanks for being there, everybody.
I want to know who was Moon. That's a funny name.
Moon.
Moon's Appa wasn't listening to our show. And now back to Ardent Atheist Nonsense You Can Believe In. We're talking with Amy Englehart, Richard Bain, and Kevin Norris. Thanks for being here, everybody.
Woo.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah. You guys are asleep.
And that was much rejoicing.
Did you hear about the pastor that said, bury me? It sounds like a setup to a joke.
Totally did.
It's not a joke. There was a pastor who had his, I believe, his congregants.
It wasn't a congregate.
Who buried him.
So what happened was.
What happened?
He wasn't a pastor. He was a prophet. And he came.
The headline says pastor fails to resurrect after telling people to bury him alive.
Pastor. What a shock.
Well, in the article it says prophet. Oh, yeah, I guess he was a pastor.
He's just David Blaine, right?
You're going to correct me
properly.
Ah, shit.
Okay.
That's proper. This was in Zimbabwe.
Oh, well, we're done. We get it now. We're done.
So
where Christianity is for.
This pastor / prophet had been called to their home village to help cleanse their house of evil spirits. So he, for some reason, asked his followers to bury him alive so he could summon cleansing powers to heal the family.
It's not for some reason.
That had been plagued by mysterious deaths.
Mm-hmm.
So they all got together and dug a hole. And the guy went in and laid down face down and then told everybody. He helped dig this grave himself. And then the followers.
Every way.
Yeah. And the followers just pushed the dirt on top of him. And one guy said, oh, no, let's stop. Let's not do this. You're going to kill him. But no, they said, no, this is a thing. We're going to bury him and he's going to rid us of all the crap. And then he died.
And here's the part of the story that's not in print. And they're sticking to that story.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I hope it's not that story. I hope it's not, you know, someone came up with this to try and cover for a murder. I really do hope that natural selection took one of the stupids out. Because that's what this is. It's lovely. There was a religion that made it a sin for men and women to copulate. Was a religion. Was. There was a religion.
Well, yeah, because everyone died out. It's gone. No one reproduced.
It's gone. It's just gone.
What they don't say in here is how long he was in that grave. Was he in there for a couple minutes, 15 minutes? They'd leave him there for a week. Like,
was
how?
It a coffin?
No, nope, they just straight up just dirt.
Face down on the dirt.
Face down in the dirt, wow. Buried him.
See, this is what happens when Christianity comes in and mixes with local kind of stuff, and it gets all confused and mixed up, and they're like, no, trust me, this will work because, you know, there's this thing that we know from our stuff that we've done forever.
Yeah.
And then
we can throw some chicken bones over here.
Yeah.
This is what happened when Christianity began, is it intermingled with the paganism.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
And that isn't, that's exactly the problem. They are burning witches right now in Africa. That's why I said earlier, this is Christianity at 4 years old. When it begins, and then they're left to their own devices. These folks that have never been exposed to, you know, Western thinking at all. This is what happens.
Right, and the witches have been there for way longer than the Christianity. I mean, the witches have been there in their local religion. I mean, I'm sort of talking out of my ass here because I'm just going by like what I've kind of gleaned a little bit, but local practices with like witch doctors and stuff like that, and then Christianity comes in and they're like, you can't do that anymore, and that's sort of the problem.
I'm sure that has happened. I think the witches that now we're talking about are people claiming their children and other people in their groups are witches because there's something bad luck happening. So the family has a baby, the family then loses a fortune in something or has some bad luck, and it's because the baby is a witch. Yeah. So then they're throwing
that
acid
happen,
on the baby and burning other people at the stake alive because that will rid away the bad luck.
This often happens in areas where that are cut off, that are don't have, you know, access to communications and scientists and doctors and stuff like that. And I actually almost wrote a project on something very like this that happened in Western Massachusetts around the time of the Salem witch trials. And people come through with their, oh, this is going to work because your village is beset by this disease or that you can't explain, or your whole family was killed by consumption. That was the case in this project I was going to do. And, you know, then they propose these rituals that are more about controlling the people and controlling their fears about it than anything else. And it's horrible because they try and offer hope and there's no science in it at all, obviously.
Right.
And then they do this weird shit like burying people or
alive.
In the case that I was
burning them too.
Yeah, burning them. In the case that I saw, it was a consumption thing, and it was said that people who died of consumption, some of them were vampires haunting the family. Not that they were it wasn't contagion. It was that these consumptive vampires then gave it to other members of the family,
right.
And so they would exhume bodies and make potions of the burned organs and say that if you drank that, your family would. I mean, they really get fucking out. This is an actual story from, it was in Exeter, is it Massachusetts? Rhode Island. And I interviewed several people because I was going to work on a project about this. And it's absolutely
what don't you do?
I look for interesting stories. And as a creator of theater, I look to see if there's drama there or what can be mined from the past that's relevant to the present, because it's all the same shit.
Right, right, right.
You know, and when I was looking at that, there were many ways to go with that. Obviously, it just happened. That's A. You know, there's still corners of the world that don't have science, communication,
right.
Outside influence, you
right.
know, Western things. And also, it's just the human desire to find an answer.
Yeah.
I mean, that's religion, right? It's like, I need an answer.
Right.
Anyone who's a little bit different could be declared a witch. Mm-hmm. And
That process is often used just to get even with people you don't like, too.
Right.
You can accuse someone of witchcraft with nearly no, in places like this, with nearly no evidence or no evidence whatsoever.
It's a crucible. It's back on Broadway.
That's
exactly right. It's and getting rave reviews, and people are saying, oh my God, this is exactly the kind of mass hysteria that Arthur Miller wrote about, you know, many decades ago. He wrote about the Salem witch trials, and that's exactly what the Crucible is.
And, you know, right. I was just looking, you were mentioning, like witches, you know, mm-hmm. being not a religion, but something that people did. And, that, you know, I was sitting here looking it up, saying, how early did witchcraft, you know, start that wasn't declared a bad thing, you know, like
witchcraft,
Wiccan and stuff like
that? I think witchcraft is an offshoot of the paganism.
Yeah.
Am I right?
Yeah.
Does anyone sense. Know, Richard?
Like giving praise to the seasons and...
Yeah.
Yeah.
It seems like it's
a pagan thing.
Yeah, I think it's a pagan offshoot. Or perhaps it's just paganism. It's a form, one of the paganisms. You know, like this is Baptist in the pagan realm. This is one of the flavors of paganism.
It's okay. Baptist gotcha. Paganism.
Yeah.
Yes. Did any of you guys see the movie The Witch this year?
No, I didn't see
no.
it.
No.
Oh my God.
Was it good?
It's so good.
Yeah.
It's like backed by the Church of Satan, like. Historically correct as far as like what a witch would have done back then.
Oh, yeah?
I mean, obviously it's fantastic, like the magic.
I'm sure it's fantastic.
I mean, like the witchcraft, the like witches flying on brooms is like
not a thing.
It's obviously
the
part
Disney
of a
version.
Yeah,
yeah, but they totally flew on mops. It's such a bullshit. Meme that
it's great though. It's a fucked up movie.
Did they really fly and they did magical things, right?
Yeah,
appeared, I mean, and reappeared and all that kind
exactly.
of stuff. That was the
cast spells,
right?
And kill, I don't want
to sitting right there away. In that seat. We have had Anton LaVey's grandson, and he's kind of an outsider to the whole movement, the Satanism movement. Anton LaVey, you know who that is?
Sure, yeah.
So, He sat there swearing up and down, and we have a friend who's been on the show who is also a Satanist. His name is eluding me right now. But Anton swears he caused someone's death with his own mind. He's positive he did. And then when he tells the story, and you can find it, go look for that episode of Ardent Atheist. It's out there somewhere. His name is...
something LaVey.
Wait, have you never done that before?
It's not like it's hard.
Yeah, really?
No, I'm serious.
I was told that everyone here had done it.
Really?
That's the only reason why you came on the show again?
Yes.
There's a million people out there that have like wished someone would die and then they died.
Well, it's confirmation bias is what it is. In other words, he believed that he had done this thing. He had cast this spell. And I asked him, I said, so when you cast the spell, how long does it take for him to die? And he's like, well, you don't know that.
Oh, my God.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
5 years.
Yeah. But then eventually the person that had wronged him, that he'd cast this spell, air quotes on, did in fact, I think it was a car wreck of some sort. And I'm like, did you cast the car wreck spell? I mean, what spell did you throw? What was
it? It was a cancer spell.
Yeah. It's always...
He's a death panel.
Yeah, right? He's a one-man death panel. Yeah. Yeah, that's exactly right. So it's just confirmation bias at its finest. I mean, it's amazing talking to these folks. They tell you themselves what they're doing. They think they're proving their point, and what they're really doing is explaining just how stupid their thinking is. It's insane to interact with that. But twice I've had it happen on this show.
We've had some strange people on the show. Yeah. It's been a good run.
Yeah.
It's still running.
Not today.
Do you see them?
Shut up!
I meant strange people.
Do you see them as the same kind of... I mean, do you look at them the same as you would Christian...
The religions.
Yes.
Yeah, they're just as stupid. It's just... I look at them in the same way that I look at psychics. I look at religions.
Magic.
It's all magic. It's all superstition.
It's magic.
That's exactly right. So, yeah, with disdain, I think, is what you're saying. And, yeah.
Yeah.
We went to karaoke last week.
I was just going to bring this up.
You want to talk about it?
All right.
Because you talked more to him about it.
Yeah,
you talked to him more than
I
did.
I wish I had his card still on me. I don't think I put it.
I have it in my jacket.
So you and Kevin went to a karaoke show, and what happened?
Go ahead.
So we just happened to be sitting there, and we're talking and all this, and there's a guy who goes up and he sings, and he's not bad. He's a pretty good singer. And he comes down, and he's about 3 Long Island iced teas into the evening at this point.
Yikes.
And so he's starting to do that thing where he's sort of talking to you, but he's also sort of like leaning into you like constantly, and it's sort of like a little bit much, and you kind of want him to go away. But what was interesting is that he then starts talking about how he is a healer, how he is a spiritual healer. And what's funny is that Heather and I had just been talking about, you know, all this atheism stuff and just kind of like, And then you know, he
logic
comes
and
over.
Shit.
Yeah. And then he comes over and just so happens that he is this guy and he gives us his card and it says like, you know, it says like Ernie, whatever, spiritual healer, and that he's been doing this ever since he had like a car accident.
And was in a coma for however long. We don't even know how long he was in this coma.
And when he came out of it, he had this power and he's able to like cure people's spirits.
Let me get this right. So you got hit in the head really hard, and then when you woke up, you were magic?
Yes, that's precisely what happened. And so we're just sort of looking at rolling our eyes during this whole thing, but he's like seriously
very serious,
very serious, and a little bit scary because he started talking about how he had cured like little kids and stuff, like
physically of medical issues, not God just spiritual. Uh-oh.
And so, like, this is what he like, I guess, this is what he did for a living. I don't know. And he said that he was going to be on Larry King, going to be interviewed on Larry King the next week, which I don't know if that was bullshit.
Is Larry King
not
still going?
Yes, yes,
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah,
like
a
freight train. I think, yeah, he is, right? I mean,
I
actually
gotta
asked
find
him
out what that guy's name is and look it up. I'll bet you money he's not going to be on Larry King.
I could.
That's
go
my guess.
During the break, because we have to wrap it up because this is the end of the free.
He's
going to
be on Harry King, which is Larry's cousin.
Harry King.
That's the big cliffhanger. You got to like subscribe if you want to find out what.
All
this
right, we're
going to
find out what this guy's name is. We're going to find out if Larry King's still alive, and we're going to see what's going on. That's it, ladies and gentlemen, for the free version of episode 190. Another show that went off without a hitch. We miss you, Hitch. We'll be making the full 90 minutes available to our premium subscribers very soon. I want to thank our guests, Amy Englehart, Richard Bain, and Kevin Norris.
I also
want to thank my co-host and producer, Heather Henderson, and our video switcher, Heather Henderson.
I was trying to multitask.
Tune in next time when our guest will be
Fruity.
And we'll be talking about...
Okay, I'm really running out of stuff to say.
Yeah, we can just stop doing that gag, I guess. I'm your host, Emery Emery.
And I'm Heather Henderson, our theme music courtesy of the sound editor of The Aristocrats, Eric Wilson. And special thanks to our Wall of Reason moderator, Joseph Bearded Man Swam.
Where can people find Amy Englehart?
www.amyenglehart.com.
That's easy.
I stayed up all night.
Twitter?
I-A-R-E tweeting. I-R tweeting.
That's cute. Where can people find you, Richard Bain?
I'm Dick Bain at Twitter. At Dick Bain.
That's,
at Twitter.
That's easy. Do you have a Twitter account you want to push out there, Kevin?
I don't have a Twitter account, but if you go on Amazon.com and look up The Last New Year by Kevin Norris, that's my novel, and if you want to read it, I would appreciate it, and leave a review. Thank you very much.
Some characters mentioned on this podcast are completely fictitious. Any resemblance to real persons living or dead is purely wishful thinking. You've been listening to Ardent Atheist. Ardent Atheist is a product of natural selection.